to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. Today we're talking books, and joining me in the studio is Sarah Shaffy, the online editor and producer at The Bookseller. Sarah, I want to get your selection, but first I wondered if you could just tell me a little bit about the network you've launched for people in the UK publishing industry who are from Black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds.
So it's called Baymin Publishing, and we set it up earlier this year with my co-founder Wei-Min Kam, who works in the publishing industry. And it really came about because there have been so many discussions, not just in publishing to be fair, but across the creative industries and across business in general, about the lack of people from minority ethnic backgrounds at all levels really, but especially at higher levels. And we really wanted to create a space where people in the publishing industry could come together, network, find mentors, get career advice and that kind of thing, and create a community that hopefully will result in more people from Black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds coming into the industry and indeed staying in the industry so they get to those positions that will eventually perhaps lead to a boardroom place.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the three books you've chosen today, in fact, are all by non-white writers. On to the specific books. So I thought we'd start with a book that's also been recommended by a couple of high-profile people as one of their favourites. The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead was on Barack Obama's summer holiday reading list this year, and it was also selected for Oprah's book club. Tell us why you think it resonated with them and why you like it.
Oh, that's a really interesting one. I'd like to think I read it before Barack Obama did. It's a story, it's quite a simple concept, taking the Underground Railroad, which was a network of safe houses, and turning it into a real underground railroad to help slaves escape from slavery in the South in plantations and make their way to freedom and safety in the North of America. And I think it's a book that still resonates today because we're still grappling, and especially in America, with issues of race and identity and how different ethnic minorities come together and how they relate to, you know, the white majority. So I think in that way, it's still a book which, you know, while we don't have plantations that employ or rather make people work for free, those issues are still there and they're still being talked about.
Mm. How historically accurate is it?
It's actually really historically accurate. And it's one of those books that taught me a lot of things that I didn't know about the American slave trade and about that period in history, which I think great books do without you realising. And there's a few things in there. So when Cora, the central character, escapes, I don't want to spoil anything, but the first state she arrives in and finds a sort of safety in, what happens there really happened. And it's shocking, absolutely shocking, that there's this piece of history that I don't think many people in the UK would know about it, and I'm not sure how well known kind of this thing was in America either.
Would you say that the book was a sort of extended metaphor for America's current racial crisis?
I don't know. I wouldn't like to get into Colson Whitehead's head and kind of say that he wrote a novel specifically for this time. I think it's just a brilliantly written novel that happens to resonate at this time. And I think perhaps if it had been published 10 years ago, it would have still been brilliant. But given things like the Black Lives Matter movement didn't exist in the same way, all the incidences with kind of police shootings have really come to the fore in the last, say, 18 to 24 months. So I think it's arrived at a time when it really touches something that's going on.
Because, I mean, he's been really careful to point out that he's not a representative of blackness.
Absolutely. And it is a novel. It's not, I think there are a few writers that write a fictional novel trying to say something about the society they're in. But I think you can't help, as a writer or indeed, you know, a creator of art of some kind, to be influenced about the things that are going on around you.
He's really interesting, isn't he? I mean, he writes in multiple genres and he's constantly changing.
Yeah, so I haven't read any of his other work, but I've got Sag Harbor. I was actually given it as a gift recently. So that's next on my list. But it's completely different to The Underground Railroad. And he is one of those writers that I think an idea just comes to him and it doesn't matter what genre it is or what time it's set in. That's the idea he's going to follow.
I mean, some of the reviews have said that it kind of nods that there's an identifiable influence from Toni Morrison in there.
I guess as a black writer, he would have read her work. I think there are very few people into reading who haven't read her work. And perhaps there are some similarities, but you don't. I think one of the dangerous things, and this is, you know, talking about the wider issue of Black writers or Asian writers, you don't want to lump them into one group and kind of say, well, actually, his writing is like Toni Morrison, because would you compare every white male writer to Ian McEwan, for example? I don't think you would. Mm. So I think we have to be careful around that and really see it as a piece of work that fits in a canon, that fits in a Black American canon, and that fits in a canon of American literature and slavery literature and lots of different types of things.
Mm-hmm. So that's The Underground Railroad. It's by Colson Whitehead. It's published by Doubleday, and it's out now. Let's move on now and return to The Good Immigrant, which is edited by Nikesh Shukla. Now, it's a collection of 24 essays. Tell me about the different writers.
Yeah, so we've got a real mix of writers here. So you've got people like Nikesh, who is an author, a full-time author, but you've got actors, so Riz Ahmed, who's a name who, if he's not already familiar to you, he will be because he's in the new Star Wars film. You've got comedians, cultural writers, you've got complete unknowns, which is also the great thing about this book.
Mm-hmm. Is there a theme that runs throughout?
I think the theme is that everybody in the book is an immigrant or the child of immigrants, and that they shared that experience, but they all have different versions of that experience. And every essay is really different. I mean, we've got Riz Ahmed talking about airport security and kind of getting stopped every time he goes through because of his name and because of the fact that he's of a Pakistani background. But then you've got essays on fashion, and you've got essays on TV and the representation of people of colour and the types of roles they're getting. There's a real mix there, but I guess it's that narrative of being not white and being not in the majority, and how you relate and how you fit in or don't fit in.
Globally, or is it focused on just the UK?
It's really focused on the UK, but I think this is a book that is important for the world we're living in and the way we operate at the moment.
Was there one standout piece that you particularly liked?
I think this is one of those books that I picked it as kind of my non-fiction the book of the year, because it's one that you would go back to time and time again, and I think in the coming months and years it's a really important book. I would say that the final essay by Musa Okwonga, who's a writer, really stuck with me and made me quite emotional, and it's about how his life in the UK, how he always tried to fit in wherever he went, and he couldn't fit in with people by changing, and he couldn't fit in with people by being who he was, and how that affected him. And that's a really affecting essay and a really strong note to end what is a really strong collection of writing.
Mm-hmm. It was crowdfunded. Do you think that was a decision by the editor, or was it difficult to find a publisher for writing like this?
I think the great thing about it being crowdfunded was that it showed there is an audience out there for this book. And I think next year there are a number of books coming out from quote-unquote traditional publishers that are by writers of colour talking about the world we live in. And I think maybe without The Good Immigrant, that might have been slower to happen. But I certainly think there's a sea change in the way publishers are acquiring and what they're looking for.
So a really important book then.
Absolutely, yeah. Hugely important. But also, I'd like to point out, it is an important book, but it's also a good book. It's a really good read. It's not 20-odd essays that are talking about how racist everyone is or anything. There's really important personal experiences in there. It's entertaining at times. It's really funny in parts as well. So definitely recommend it.
The Good Immigrant. It's edited by Nikesh Shukla. It's published by Cornerstone, and it's available now. Now, the final book that you've chosen is My Name is Leon by Kit Zaval. Now, tell me about the author, because there's a whole legal background here.
Yeah, so she's worked in the legal arena. She's got experience of the world of foster caring, which is a part of this story. And she grew up in Birmingham, I think, which is where a large part of the book is set. So there's a lot from her real life that kind of influences or informs this book.
Mm-hmm. So you've told us a little bit about it. Tell us some more, because it's told through the eyes of a child.
Yeah, so it's told through the eyes of Leon, who is 8 to 9 years old. He's got a baby brother, and it's evident very quickly to the reader that their mother can't take care of them, and they're taken into foster care. And it's 1980s England, early 1980s England, so there's kind of riots on the horizon. And it's really about his world and about his brother getting fostered and his brother getting adopted and him not, and how he deals with that.
That's My Name is Leon by Kit DeWall. It's published by Penguin and it's out now. Sarah, before you go, if you had to recommend one of these to wrap and tie a bit of tinsel around and leave it under a tree for a Monocle listener, which would it be?
Oh, I would say The Good Immigrant. I think it's a really important read in a kind of divided society that we're facing now, that we more than ever understand lots of different people's lived experiences. So I think that's the one I'd go for.
Well, that's the end of today's show. Sarah, thank you so much. That's Sarah Shaffy from The Bookseller. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. My producer today, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be rounding off the week with a look at the latest film releases. But for now, thanks for listening. Goodbye.